Have you ever been caught short by a call of nature and found the facilities closed with a sign saying they were out of order? This, of course, can turn into an emergency as you search for another facility unless you are out of doors enjoying a walk in nature with many leafy bushes and shrubs offering some degree of privacy. Almost as annoying can be finding the cash machine that says it is being serviced, or it has temporarily run out of $20 bills. Or if there is a tall plastic sign on the door reading, "We'll be back in 20 minutes," and you wonder when that coffee break started. Worse is when you find out that the website was wrong and the restaurant is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, those being the days of rest that accommodates the cook's days off. As inconvenient as those examples are, one begins to be really concerned when public services go out of order, either by work stoppages, strikes, or work to rule. Heaven forfend the day Amazon workers go out of order, and the Prime trucks stop delivering web purchases. Even the Canada Post going out of order causes some alarm among rural dwellers who count on mail and parcel delivery. In our fair city, it is the mayor and council, aided and abetted by some administrative practices that are apparently out of order. The sign is not on the door at City Hall yet, but one does wonder if there should be a sign saying temporarily closed for staff renovations. One senior staff position is vacant, another should be. How did we get ourselves into such a mess? I have a theory. Okay, I know some of my thoughts are out of order, but bear with me a few minutes. Back in the day, citizens were allowed, even encouraged, to present to the mayor and council their concerns in a public forum. They could raise questions, they could make suggestions, they could heap praises for a job well done. Council set no limits on what people could say other than they be polite, not slander anyone, or, in their own interests, not libel anyone. Foul or offensive language would be out of order. There was only a suggestion that presentations be kept to a few minutes. If more time was needed, perhaps a written summary could be handed to the clerk. This method of petitioning the council worked for many years as part of free speech and the right to petition, hat in hand, showing respect to those elected to rule the land. The clerk, or as they used to say, clerk, would take notes, accept petitions, letters of recommendation, etc., and pass them on to the Lord Mayor and council. About the turn of the century, just 25 years ago, things began to change. Citizens became more outspoken about the manner in which the fiefdom was being run. Too many people were asking to be heard. Council and mayor felt overwhelmed. The clerk, who prepared the meeting agendas, felt the order of the meetings slipping away. Things were getting out of order. Even Robert's Rules of Order was being challenged as discussions turned into a shambles. One or two citizens were raising questions, then a league of citizens, a taxpayers' association, emboldened by the disarray, began flooding the chambers with presentations and questions. Council required more order, and abetted by administrative convenience, they and the city bureaucrats set out new rules, effectively limiting who could speak, how long the presentation or petition could be, and how often a subject could be broached. This effectively stopped public discourse, and the duct-taped citizens had to rely on public media to bring their concerns to the council and to other citizens. No longer hounded by public presentations, the council closed ranks and relied more and more upon the administration to give them good and true information. Without the sometimes entertaining and interesting public presentation in the council chambers, the media went elsewhere with their reporting and scrutiny. Closed pre-meeting discussions and decisions made the broadcasting of the public meetings of council of little interest, and until election times, who cared? Who was watching? Who was watching the watchers? Qui custodiat ipsos custodes? In 2020 we won the Code of Silence Award, in 2025 we made the CTV national news again. Calls are made for the integrity commissioner, outside auditors, and police. Maybe all we needed was to revert to the old ways of open public discussion and presentation at council meetings. I think it is called transparency. Maybe honesty. Perhaps integrity. As Father Pat used to say, it is the sins of omission rather than the sins of commission that gets one into trouble. It seems that few of the council knew about the city credit card fiasco or irregularities, that we were building up such a large reserve fund, and how, and if they did, how their lack of transparency has eroded public trust in how they are doing their jobs as our representatives. People often hearken back to the Memorial Gardens renovations and how that got out of hand, and it is comforting to know that the new community center, Twin Ice Pads, is on time and on budget. Oh, you didn't know? Maybe you could raise that question at the next public meeting of council. Or make a FOI request. Oh, wait, that takes a lot of time, paperwork, research, authorization on redactions. Come to think of it, maybe the councilor in charge could have just answered the question in the public forum. Wait. The clerk is conferring with the mayor. Sorry, that question is out of order. You have run over your time limit. You may not ask or infer questions about personnel, accounting, or accountability, and there is a privacy shield around all contracts. No, there is no old boys club, it is just the way we have always done things. Sorry again, I think the statute of limitations has run out on that. Yes, we know there is an election next year. Wouldn't you love to be the ward councillor for Ward 5 containing both the casino and the new community center? Just saying.